Got a question for me? You can email me at stevethescout81@gmail.com.
Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. The Pro Football Scouting Podcast is available to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Episodes might come out a little bit earlier. You might see it released half an hour before or an hour before, but they will definitely be out by that time. And again, that's 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm excited because today is Friday, so we have a week of training camp done. The preseason kicked off last night with the Hall of Fame game, so we are getting closer to the season. Those of you that work a traditional, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, job, definitely nice to have the weekends off and just relax and, you know, talk about football. So what I focus on every Friday is it's the one time of week where I answer questions from you guys. So if you guys have questions regarding a player, a team, really focusing on things from a scouting perspective, or even something you heard on the show or something that you even disagreed with, that's okay. Questions, I will pick the best questions to answer that week, the ones that make the most sense at that time, and answer them on the show and give you guys a shout out. A lot of the questions that I answer are from weeks prior, so if you ask a great question and I don't get to it that week, I still may use it later on. So with that being said, let's dive into this week of training camp, and let me give you a tidbit of information on every single team around the NFL. So I'm going to start out with the NFC East. Looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, I watched Carson Wentz quite a bit this week in live practice, and to me, as much as people want to say he's looking great, to me, he still looks like he's favoring that knee a lot. So knowing ACL injuries, understanding what movement should look like throughout the recovery process, to me, he just does not look like he is a month away from being able to start. I would still look at probably another 2 months. I think ideally, just based on the way I saw him move, he looks like a week four start, and that's just my gut instinct. Moving on to the Dallas Cowboys, they have to have a big training camp out of Dak Prescott. One of the things that I've heard is he's going through his progressions very well, and he's looked good so far, and you have Zeke taking on a bigger leadership role with the team, and a very determined Ezekiel Elliott. I've seen some of his interviews lately. It seems focus-wise, he is exactly where he should be. And Randy Gregory did report to practice, so now they've added another guy that I think can be a big-time pass rusher. I told you, watching Gregory coming out of Nebraska, he had the best closing speed of any edge rusher in that draft. I thought Vic Beasley had the most explosion and the fastest get-off, but once Gregory is in your backfield, it's pretty much over from that point. The New York Giants, Odell Beckham has looked phenomenal. When you want to look at, having injury rust, it really doesn't look like he has it. He looks like his old self. Saquon Barkley has been as good as advertised, and I'm hearing Sterling Shepard is having his best training camp ever. So all of that is good news. The Washington Redskins, Darius Geis has been turning heads in practice. He is the rookie running back from LSU. And it seems like Alex Smith is picking up the offense, you know, pretty quickly, faster than, you know, even what they expected. Moving on to the NFC North, starting out with the Minnesota Vikings. One thing that's really interesting with the Vikings is their quarterback's coach is John DeFilippo. John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach of the Philadelphia Eagles last year. So the quarterback's coach of the Eagles last year. And if you noticed, you know, one thing that you saw a lot of Carson Wentz doing last year is he moved around in the pocket a lot. He was always moving around in the pocket, creating different launch points for his passes. And, you know, and doing that, it really made him harder to defend than a traditional pocket passer. And I'm expecting that he is going to do a lot of that with Kirk Cousins this year. So I think you're going to see Kirk Cousins be harder to defend in years past. He's going to learn some new things and bring it into his arsenal. And I think with John DeFilippo as a quarterback's coach there, Kirk Cousins is going to take what he learned in Washington and what he's teaching him and really blend it together and become an even better quarterback. I'm also really interested to see what, you know, how Mike Hughes looks in training camp. Mike Hughes was their first round cornerback. They got him at the end of the first round. I thought he was a major draft steal. And in my opinion, watching game tape and his combine, there's no cornerback that impressed me more than Mike Hughes. They have Xavier Rhodes and an emerging Trey Wayans also there at cornerback. So the Vikings defense, especially their whole defense, is very complete. Mitch Trubisky has looked great. The small sample size I saw from him last year, I was blown away by how good he looked. I thought of all the young quarterbacks watching the game tape, I'm not sure if there's anyone that impressed me more than him looking at the quarterbacks that are under 25. He didn't have a lot to work with last year, but you know, the talent to me was indisputable. And Roquan Smith, their first-round draft pick, the middle linebacker out of Georgia, a guy who I believe is going to be one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL, has not reported to camp yet. There's some, I guess, issues in terms of getting the contract signed. Not really something I talk about on the show. So hopefully that will all get figured out. Looking at Detroit, Kerryon Johnson is playing. He is their rookie running back. Kerryon Johnson is playing, from everything I've heard, has been playing great so far in training camp. Kerryon Johnson is the rookie running back. They got him in the second round, actually. And what Kerryon Johnson is going to help them with is he is going to be a threat in the passing game. So Matthew Stafford won't have to drive the ball downfield as much. He's going to have Kerryon Johnson, who, despite not being a big guy, is a very aggressive runner. And remember, they also got LeGarrette Blount. So those two in the backfield is definitely going to add some diversity. It's going to diversify their offense, and I think it's going to make Matthew Stafford even better and take some pressure off of him. The Packers got Mercedes Lewis in the offseason. He is a tight end. And I believe Mercedes Lewis, one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. From everything I've heard so far in training camp, his blocking has been better than advertised, which I think is going to be a huge help for Aaron Rodgers and that offense. Jair Alexander, the Packers' first-round pick, another guy that has been playing even better than advertised. So you're seeing a lot of these rookies that are exceeding expectations so far in training camp, the first-round picks. Moving on to the NFC South, the Falcons' passing attack has looked, from everything I've heard, better than it has in any previous training camp, considering at one point they had Roddy White in his prime, Julio Jones, and Tony Gonzalez. That's a pretty impressive thing to say, but they have Julio Jones and a number of other good young receivers that defenses are really going to have to pick their poison. You're going to see Julio Jones getting double teamed and a lot of these other receivers being a huge asset in the Falcons passing attack this year. The Panthers, it sounds like there's really some cause for concern with their offensive line. Ron Rivera blew a gasket the other day in practice and screamed at the offensive line, and it has been an issue the entire week. You got to hope they can get that turned around, because you don't want to see Cam Newton under duress all the time, It's happened in years prior. I get it. He's got a pair of wheels on him. But look, any quarterback's going to be better with a good offensive line. He's no different. The New Orleans Saints. Everything is looking smooth as you'd expect. It sounds like they're picking up from where they left off last year. Last year they left off with, in my opinion, the best one-two punch at running back in the NFL, and they had a number of good young players emerging on defense. Everything I've heard so far out of Saints camp has been very smooth. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, let's talk about their last two first-round picks. They got O.J. Howard last year, and they got Vita Vea this year. O.J. Howard, tight end, Vita Vea, defensive tackle. O.J. Howard got off to a slow start last year. It was him and Evan Engram that were the two main first-round tight ends that teams were looking at. But O.J. Howard, although he started off slow last year, he really started to play some great football down the stretch. And he, of any guy in that team, has been the biggest buzz has been around O.J. Howard and his play so far at training camp. Adding a great tight end to that offense, a tight end who's evolving, definitely gonna make any offense better. Vita Vea, people were concerned that he may have had a serious injury after he was carted off the field, but it looks like he will be okay. Moving on to the NFC West, you got to hope with the San Francisco 49ers that this young defense can put it together. They've drafted a lot of young guys on defense the last few years. Arik Armstead, Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, some other guys as well. So they have, again, you know, years ago, the 49ers had this tremendous defense about 5 years ago, and they built it through the draft. It seems like they're doing that again, and hopefully they can put it together. But so far, the defense has really been on skates going against Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the 49ers offense, which doesn't surprise me. The 49ers offense had teams on skates, you know, the last few games last year. That is going to be under Kyle Shanahan. It's going to be a very creative offense. I expect big things from that offense this next year. Moving on to the Rams, Aaron Donald still having a contract dispute. The question is, how good will the Rams be without Aaron Donald? And I will tell you, without Aaron Donald, they are still a better team than what they were last year. When you consider who they've added and the fact that, you know, they didn't have Ndamukong Suh last year, it's, you know, they're still a better team. I don't look too deeply into the contract stuff. Again, mainly what I want to focus on is on the field play, but I do wonder that with all the money they spent in the offseason, if they're going to have some trouble paying Aaron Donald, and that has something to do with why he's not signed yet, because he's the best defensive player in the NFL. You can definitely make that argument that he is that. Look, he was AP Defensive Player of the Year last year. If you were to ask me if I could start a team and build it around Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, or Von Miller, Aaron Donald would be the player I'd take. He's the best defensive player in the NFL, and arguably, he's already in the conversation just in the short amount of time. Maybe not for a long term, but at least for his first 4 or 5 years, he's in the conversation for one of the best defensive linemen ever, talking about just how he started off his career. So you got to figure out a way to pay him. I don't care how good the rest of your team is, but hopefully they can. The Seattle Seahawks, their offensive line continues to struggle. It seems like it is better than what it was last year, and they are getting some really great production out of rookie running back Rashad Penny, who I thought they would. Rashad Penny is going to get a ton of carries this year. He is a guy that I thought had the best vision of any running back in that draft, and a guy that I think can come in and contribute right away. The Cardinals have Josh Rosen, who they drafted in the first round. But remember, they also have Sam Bradford, and it seems that so far Sam Bradford is getting most of the first team reps, with Josh Rosen really being the second guy in line there. And in terms of the relationship between Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, they always try to spin it to be positive, but it looks like so far from everything you're hearing, you know, Josh Rosen is doing and saying all the right things, and definitely seems very grateful to learn from Sam Darnold from the way he spoke about him. But you've heard Patrick Peterson come out and say that He actually wants Sam Darnold to be, he wants him to be the week one starter because he believes Sam Darnold is a top 10 quarterback. Sam Bradford. I believe that Sam Bradford is going to be their week one starter, and I don't think that's going to change unless he gets injured or he's not playing well. But I think Sam Bradford, regardless, is going to be on a very short leash. So with that being said, that covers the NFC. I am going to get back to the AFC in a little bit, but first I did want to take a few questions. Some of the ones that have been sent to me this week. And I wanted to first answer the question from Sarah Granger. Sarah had said, and maybe she's a Steelers fan, but she said, how can, and it was actually one sentence. She said, hey, love your show, but how can you rank Mitch Trubisky over Ben Roethlisberger on your quarterbacks list for best quarterbacks in the NFL? Great question, Sarah. And I can see why you'd ask that, because Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer. He's still playing some of his best football, and we've seen a few games for Mitchell Trubisky, and he's not even really that talked about. So why on earth would I rank him better than Ben? Well, it all really goes back to me trusting my eyes and what I see on the game tape. All things put aside, I think if you were to look at the throws made, and even the pocket presence, and just the overall skill set, I believe that Mitch Trubisky can do more right now to win football games than Ben Roethlisberger. I believe right now, in terms of throwing a more accurate ball, throwing the ball on a variety of different angles, maybe he doesn't have the experience, but if I turn on the tape of both of those players and say, which one impresses me the most? Just looking at him, I'm going to say it's Mitch Trubisky. And ultimately, I get it. Like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has had a lot of success, but I always go back to my gut instinct on the tape. When I look at the tape, I just love what I see from Mitch Trubisky too much. So yeah, I did give him the edge over Ben, in that area. And then if you look at a lot of the things that are important, you know, he's a more accurate quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. To me, he throws the ball with more zip. He throws a better deep ball, and I think he's only going to get better with time. So I love Ben. He's a Hall of Famer, but Mitch Trubisky is special. And really, you know, if I'm looking at the best quarterbacks drafted in the last 5 years, he is one of the very top guys, and a guy that I think really can be the best quarterback of this generation. The second question I am going to answer is from Clayton Johnson. Clayton actually goes to Clemson University. So Clayton, thank you for sending this question. Clayton had asked me, he said, it's pretty hard to keep track of all the 90-man preseason rosters for each team. In your opinion, which team has the deepest 90-man roster going into training camp, or teams have the deepest 90-man roster going into training camp? And, you know, he also wanted to ask about, you know, UDFA players or practice squad players that I think highly of. You know, I will, and he also mentioned that he is a big Panthers fan, and he is always trying to keep track of these sort of things through this time of the year. So, Clayton, I will answer, you know, one main, the main thing you probably want to hear is, which teams really have the deepest rosters above anything else. And, you know, the team that jumps out to me the most at having the deepest roster, but also being the team that is most set up for success right now, it's the Minnesota Vikings. If you look at the key players on the Minnesota Vikings, they are all under contract for a number of years. So the Vikings are going to be, you know, a lot of their, almost all their great players, or most of them, are locked up long term. And you want to talk about a deep roster. I think they have the deepest roster in the NFL. When I look at what they have up front on their defensive line, might be the deepest defensive line in the NFL. I would put Philadelphia and Jacksonville in that conversation as well. But their defensive line is one of the deepest in the NFL. They got a slew of linebackers that can play, and in their secondary, they have Harrison Smith, and they have three good young cornerbacks. And if you look at how the Vikings have drafted the last few years, I really think that they've drafted very well, and they're a team that is going to be set up for success in the future. So I look at them as having the deepest roster of any team right now, and the team that is most set up for success, you know, in the future. Next question I am going to take is from Malcolm in Germany. Malcolm asking his second question. So good to hear from you again, Malcolm. Malcolm also does play football over there in Germany, and it's just really cool to see that someone in a different country has such a passion for really what's been an American sport, and wants to take the extra steps to learn about it, and also is playing over there. So always love hearing from you, Malcolm. But Malcolm had asked me, he said he wanted to hear my scouting take on one of the most underrated and undervalued players in the league. He said, in my opinion, that is Lavonte David from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He mentioned that when he watches tape of any Bucs game, he jumps out to you immediately. And absolutely, Lavonte David does. See, when I look at the most versatile linebackers in the NFL, to me, Lavonte David is in that conversation for the most versatile linebacker in the NFL. When you want to look at speed at the position and being able to move from point A to point B on the field, go sideline to sideline, he's about as good as any middle linebacker in the NFL. He is, you know, especially just when you look at his versatility. He's a guy that can rush the passer. He is a guy that has been proved to be amazing against the run. And, you know, the reason why you don't always see a lot of production from him is because he's asked to do a lot of different things. And I think that's why you don't see the production from him. But when you want to talk about just a pure athlete, a jack of all trades, and a guy that is smart and can do everything, it's Lavonte David. I agree with you, Malcolm. He's definitely one of the most underrated and undervalued players in the league. No question about it. If he was a guy that was just asked to do one thing, maybe just rush the passer, but you know, he's asked to do a lot of different things. And to me, he is definitely one of the best linebackers overall in the NFL. So I'm going to answer a couple more questions in a second. Now I'm going to get back to training camp and look at the AFC. So opening up my notes back again, looking at the AFC East, I see the New York Jets. Here's what it looks like is happening with the Jets is that they're going to be trading Teddy Bridgewater, who I think is the best quarterback in terms of a guy that can start week one and do well. I think Teddy Bridgewater gives them their best chance. He reads and scans the field better than McCown or Sam Darnold. What I think is going to happen is that, look, Sam Darnold reported to practice pretty late. He was actually, he was late signing his contract, and he was also late on his first day. He supposedly couldn't figure out where he was supposed to be. But Josh McCown, yeah, I would say start him week one. Sam Darnold, there's not much to report on with him yet, but it's just good that he's gotten into training camp. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward and how Sam Darnold plays in camp. I'll definitely be intrigued to watch him in some of these preseason games. The New England Patriots, I thought they had one of the biggest steals of the first round in running back Sonny Michel. From everything I've read, they are using him a lot in the screen game, so he's getting very involved in the passing game early in training camp. He did deal with a bit of an injury on towards the end of the week, but he has been a guy that the Patriots have been really scheming up a lot in training camp. A guy who I thought, you know, of the two Georgia running backs between him and Chubb, I thought clearly he was the better back, and a guy that's going to help the Patriots. Guy that's going to help the Patriots offense right away. I think this is going to be the best running back they've had since Corey Dillon, my opinion. Looking at the Finns, the Dolphins, their offense is struggling. The defense is winning against the offense virtually every time they're out there. But look, you know, Ryan Tannehill is getting back in the mix. He's lost 2 years of playing time, so we'll see how their offense, hopefully their offense can continue to get better. And in Buffalo, it looks like A.J. McCarron is winning the quarterback competition at this point. Josh Allen appears to be a third-string quarterback at this point. What I'm interested to see is how Josh Allen develops under David Culley, who is widely regarded as one of the top quarterback coaches in the NFL. He's been a quarterback's coach in the NFL for 25 years, worked and developed a lot of big-name quarterbacks. Look, I think Josh Allen, there's a lot working against him right now, and you guys have heard me talk about it. But look, if he can't develop with David Culley, then I just it's going to be a complete bust. And honestly, I think it's going to be, you know, regardless. Moving on to the AFC North, we're hearing great things out of the Browns training camp room. Baker Mayfield actually bought an RV, and coaches are not allowed in there. Media is not allowed in there. It is just for the quarterbacks. And when you hear Tyrod Taylor talk and you hear Baker Mayfield talk, it's very much team first. It seems like right now that, you know, Tyrod came into camp. At this point, he's really been the leader and the guy that people are following. He is getting the most first team reps right now. And look, Tyrod Taylor, you know, he's been a guy that's been criticized for playing it safe, but look, he doesn't turn the ball over. He's a smart quarterback, and people don't want to say he's a big play quarterback, but he throws a really great deep ball. I don't think it's out of the question for Baker Mayfield to still be the starter week one. We'll have to see how that plays out, but clearly right now, Tyrod is number one, Baker is number two, and we'll see how that goes. Ben Roethlisberger of the Steelers coming in losing about 15, 20 pounds. He cut out carbs and sugar in the offseason and is looking as light as he ever has and moving around very well. He said this is the best he's felt for training camp in a number of years. So good news out of Pittsburgh. The Cincinnati Bengals, they really could have something very dynamic in terms of a receiving threat this year. Tyler Boyd is emerging and playing great in training camp as a slot receiver. You got to hope that John Ross, their first-round pick, can start playing like a first-round pick. I did not think he should have been a first-round pick. Look, he's a speed guy, but you need more than that. And look, they also have A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. So if they get good production out of Tyler Boyd and Ross, Bengals can have a great passing attack this year. And with the Ravens, we're going to get to see Lamar Jackson play in the preseason. The show's come out on Friday, but I'm actually recording this on Thursday night, so he is playing probably right now in that Hall of Fame game, and interested to go back and look at his plays and see how he did if he did play. Moving on to the AFC South, J.J. Watt has looked great. It seems like in terms of having rust, he's had a little bit of that the first few days, but it really seems from what I'm hearing that he's settling in and looking great. Clowney's looking great, but he has been playing limited just because he is still dealing with an off-season surgery. So we're only going to see a limited amount of Jadeveon Clowney. Look, if they have Clowney and Watt healthy together playing at their highest level this year, that defensive line is going to be really, really difficult to deal with. Andrew Luck for the Colts. Andrew Luck has looked great so far. He has, you know, on a Sunday night practice, you know, I watched some film from that. He really lit it up. Andrew Luck can still be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's going to take him. I don't think he's going to be himself totally this year, but I think you're going to see him start to, you know, really move in the right direction again this year. And I think next year will probably be the best year we've seen from him. In Titans training camp, the Titans drafted Harold Landry in the first, Harold Landry in the second round, and Rashawn Evans in the first round, two linebackers, and both of these guys have been playing lights out. I've heard Landry has been a huge menace in terms of getting into the backfield in training camp, and Rashawn Evans, they've been lining up all over the field, and a head coach like Mike Vrabel gonna love to have a linebacker like that you have that kind of versatility with. Corey Davis, Also having a great training camp. So good stuff out of Tennessee. And Blake Bortles is also having his best training camp ever. I know this is a lot of this sounds positive. Hopefully, I am being negative on a few teams, so hopefully it doesn't sound too positive for everyone. They do say in scouting that, you know, obviously you want to be you want to be negative more than you want to be positive, because obviously one of the things you want to be is critical, but just trying to give you guys some hope. trying to give you the good stuff, but if there's bad stuff, you know, I'll definitely speak on that as well. Finishing things off with the AFC West, a great thing that I'm hearing out of Raiders training camp is the play of Jordy Nelson. He is having one of his best training camps from what I've heard, and considering that he's 33 years old, people didn't know quite what he had left. I think a lot of people expected them to get a Jordy Nelson as a guy that would no longer be productive, but from what I've heard, he has been above any wide receiver they've had, has actually looked the best in training camp. So that is interesting to hear. And you got to hope that they can get things figured out with Khalil Mack. One thing that John Gruden said that I think it was talked about in the media quite a bit was he said the Raiders defense wasn't good that last year with Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack is looking for quarterback money. Again, you know, the Raiders, I get it. You know, their defense wasn't great with Khalil Mack last year, but that's not because of him. A defense can still be crappy with a great guy. Look, the year that Michael Strahan won Defensive Player of the Year and broke Mark Gastineau's single season sack record, Giants defense was terrible that year. So you can be great. You can have one of the best seasons ever of any defensive player in your team. The rest of the defense can still be bad. So look, I think they got to pay him though. He is without question one of the 10 best football players in the NFL. And you know, John Gruden's seems to be doing a lot of creative things. Their training camp seems to be quite different from what it usually is. He's also bringing in Peyton Manning as well to talk to the team. So all of that sounds interesting. And you definitely expect you know, some different stuff with John Gruden, you know, being back there. Patrick Mahomes, I watched a bit of Patrick Mahomes tape in training camp. I watched about 10 throws of his, and it looks like he had a couple hiccups, but some of these throws that he makes are absolutely ridiculous. You know, I saw him a few times just throw these zingers with a ton of mustard on them into really tight windows, and what I'm starting to see is that it looks like Mahomes' anticipation is getting better. On a couple of these plays, it really looked like he's starting to be able to better anticipate and lead his receivers open. So positive stuff to see from Patrick Mahomes. I didn't rank him as high in my quarterbacks list because mechanically he has a lot of things to work on. But if he lives up to his potential, he could be great. He really could be. Phillip Rivers, also another guy that is having a great training camp, another guy that's come into training camp losing some weight, and really been the talk of Chargers training camp so far. Casey Hayward's also been having a great training camp. I talked a lot about Casey Hayward last year, saying that he was the 23rd best player in the NFL. I expect you to see a lot of great stuff out of the Chargers training camp. And no surprise whatsoever, their first round pick, Derwin James, has been lighting it up. I thought he was the best defensive player in the draft this past year. And then AFC West, Bradley, you know, people are saying that out of any defensive player on the whole team, the best training camp so far has come from Bradley Chubb. So considering you got Von Miller on the other side, that is definitely good stuff to hear. So again, you know, I try to pass on a lot of positive stuff. Few teams, we had a few negative things. One specifically is the Panthers offensive line. Hopefully they can get it figured out. But that is a weekly training camp recap from around the NFL. I'm going to answer a couple more questions here, and then we will get on with letting you guys enjoy your weekend, and hopefully you guys are enjoying the show so far. So getting back to my questions here. So the next question comes from Craig DiFilippo, and Craig had asked me, he said, how can I rate Alex Smith ahead of Cam Newton on my quarterbacks list? So definitely can understand where you're coming from, Craig. Alex Smith is the more accurate passer. If you want to talk about who is the more complete passer of the football, it's Alex Smith. Yes, Cam Newton can drive the football down the field better. But here's why I ranked Cam Newton ahead of Alex Smith. It's because when Cam Newton is playing his best football, he is going to help you win more games than Alex Smith when he's playing his best football. Cam Newton was league MVP, and as great as Alex Smith is at reading defenses, I think Cam Newton is just as good, if not better. Cam Newton throws the deep ball better. He can drive the ball down the field. In terms of getting a big play, you're going to get a lot more big plays out of Cam Newton than Alex Smith. I do understand Alex Smith takes care of the football. He is one of the cleanest passers in the NFL to evaluate. But still, Cam Newton was league MVP, and just because of Cam's upside, I gave him a slight edge over Alex Smith. So that actually was the last question for today. Again, you know, my goal with everything that I give you guys is that you guys can become smarter about the game. I'm going to be having a new website coming out soon called stevethescout.com, where I'm going to be giving you a lot of additional insider information and stuff that's not going to be on the podcast. So my ultimate goal is to make sure that you guys are entertained, and also you're getting good quality information about the game and about prospects. And that is really it. So that is today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Steve the Scout signing off.